gospel reading and the text for the sermon this morning comes, it's a short passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. Although it's a short passage, it, as you'll hear, it contains two parts that really, in a strange way, don't seem to fit together as you hear them. I invite us all to listen now again for God's word. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink, and then later you may eat and drink'? Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We've done only what we ought to have done.'" This is the word of the Lord. At this point in the Gospel of Luke this morning, where we just read, the disciples are completely overwhelmed. They're overwhelmed, I think, now by fully realizing what it takes to follow Jesus. They've been with him for quite a while now. We're 17 chapters into the Gospel of Luke. They're overwhelmed by trying to understand some of his teachings. They're overwhelmed by trying to imitate Jesus' example. They know that they should, but it's incredibly difficult. They're really just sort of trying to hang in, to hang on and figure out what the demands are, what they need to do to meet the demands and the pace that Jesus keeps. In the four verses right before, and you may have maybe at some point recently read those four verses, Jesus has given them, first of all, he's done two things. He's given the disciples a very strong warning against putting a stumbling block in the way of anybody's faith. He calls others the little ones. It would be as if you were putting a stumbling block in front of a child. And then right after that, he goes into words that are just as strong about their need to forgive other disciples. And he says, If another disciple sins against you but then comes and honestly seeks repentance, then you have to forgive seven times. And that really means there's no limit to forgiveness. So Jesus has put all of this in front of them, and they are simply overwhelmed, I'm sure. They must at this point not be able to imagine what it's going to take to be good and strong and faithful followers of the Lord that they're trying to follow. They really are trying, but it's overwhelming to them. And so I can imagine, maybe it was one of the disciples, maybe it was several at once, that they must have almost desperately blurted out those words, "Lord, increase our faith." In the Greek, the words literally mean "add to our faith." And that's exactly what they think they need. They think they need more faith than they already have. They think they need their faith added to. They don't think they possibly have enough faith to do what it takes. One of the great classic prayers in Christian history, I'm sure you know it, I'm sure you've heard it many times, came first of all from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verse 24, but then St. Augustine, the great church father, repeated it. It's the simple prayer, "Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief." I can hear myself saying that. I mean, many times. Maybe every day. Can you hear yourself saying that? Feeling that in your heart? We say, "I don't think I can do it. I just don't know if I have the strength for something that I'm facing, something that I'm going through. And I really do want to have faith." It's not that. It's I really do want to have the faith, but I'm just not sure it's enough faith. When we're in those times, you know, we have a lot of questions. What form is faith going to come in so that I'll recognize it when it comes to me, or if it comes to me? Should I be praying more? That's one of the common ones. Should I be praying differently than I am. What should I pray for? The apostles, very understandably, just like us, say, Lord, add to our faith. Now, most of us ask that not in exactly those words, but if you think about it, we ask it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times in hundreds of different circumstances, really in mostly in just everyday moments. That particularly struck me this week because I happened to come to one of the devotional prayers for the week that I use. And I was already working on this sermon. And this prayer caught my attention because I was already thinking about the disciples' situation here when they said, Lord, increase our faith. And I was wondering, how does that apply to us? What can I think through? What can I perhaps say this morning? And I came to this prayer. Now, let me say first, before I bring the prayer to you, Jesus answers that question, that assertion, Lord, increase our faith. He answers it in two ways. And through all the history of scholarship, we're not sure exactly which way he answers it, but probably in some ways he answers it in both ways. Jesus either says here, if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, then you could do thus and so, meaning you need more faith. Your faith's not strong enough yet. But he could also be saying, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, meaning that you already do have some faith, you have a little faith, even if it's a little faith, then you could say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea. Now think about Jesus' answer there for us. I think both of those answers, when we put them together, speak exactly to where I am and to where you are when we face some of those situations and those moments in our lives. We have some faith. We may think we have little faith. We may even think we have too little faith. But we have faith. And we always want and hope for more faith. Now that's why I think this prayer, at least for me, speaks very truthfully and very deeply to us. So for just a moment, I'm going to ask you to listen to it. And if you can, listen in maybe a quiet, focused, prayerful mood for just a minute. This is the prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, give me grace today to put my trust in you. Lord, I pray for faith to believe that you do rule the world in truth and righteousness. For faith to believe that if I seek your kingdom and your righteousness, you will provide for all my lesser needs. For faith, this is a hard one for me, not to be anxious about tomorrow, but to believe that your mercies will continue. For faith, to trust that your purpose of love is unfolding itself in the happenings in the world around me today. For faith, to be calm and brave in the face of the dangers that I may face today because of living for you. I pray for faith. This is another hard one for me, to believe in the power of your love to melt my hard heart and swallow up my sin. For faith to put my own trust in love instead of force when other people harden their hearts against me. For faith to believe in the ultimate victory of your Holy Spirit over disease and death and all the powers of darkness. I pray for faith to be made stronger by whatever sufferings you call me to endure. And I pray for faith to leave in your hands the welfare of everyone I love. And then the prayer finishes. O God, in whom my ancestors trusted, take away from my heart now every useless anxiety, every paralyzing fear, and give me a cheerful, resilient spirit and peace in doing your will. Amen. That is a full prayer. That's a prayer for us. That's our prayer. In our lives and in our faith, we do have faith, even when we think it's very little. Maybe we think it's inadequate. But in our lives, in line after line in our lives, just like every line in that prayer, we ask God for faith and more faith. The apostle said, Lord, add to our faith. Now, when Jesus answers them, he says something that's pretty remarkable. We don't necessarily expect to hear this unless you've just heard this in Sunday school lesson this morning. He essentially says, you don't always need more faith. You need some faith. Jesus is saying that it's not always that we need more faith to be faithful to him. What we need is to understand the power of the faith that's already in us. If we use it, we already have enough faith to be faithful to Jesus. If we have faith the size of a mustard seed, God can do things way beyond the ordinary and things that we cannot even imagine. But we do have to use the faith that we have. We have to act in the faith that we have. We have to use a modern word, exercise the faith we have. We can't just let it be there. We can't just let it lie dormant. We can't just let it not grow. And we have to grow in faith as we mature in our faith and in our lives. That leads to this odd parable this morning that Jesus suddenly jumps into. And it sort of makes you want to say when you jump into this, what does that have to do with faith? I finally got back to the title of my sermon for you. In verses 7 through 10, as you heard, Jesus suddenly says, who among you would say to your slave who's just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come at once and take your place at the table? Wouldn't you say instead, prepare supper for me and serve me while I eat and drink, and then later you may eat and drink? And then this question, do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? And then he says, so you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say we are worthless slaves. We've only done what we ought to have done. Now, we have to understand the social and cultural situation that Jesus was telling this parable in. So, as hard as it is for us to hear, we have to get beyond some of those obviously revolting assumptions and insulting words about slaves and slave owners. If we can do that, then the parable basically has a very basic and simple message, and the message is act faithfully for Jesus Christ. Do what's required of us. Not just think about it, not just intellectually hold on to it, but act in faith for Jesus Christ. It's our simple duty. It's our responsibility. As Christians, it's who we are and what we do. I think we tend to think that every good thing that we do, and that extends to our faith in God, deserves a reward. If I'm faithful, I ought to get something in return. Think about the way we treat many people sometimes in the relationships in our lives. That's a complete misunderstanding of faith, though. The faith that we have is given to us by God as a gift. It's given to us by God as a grace. And so we also live faith and we give faith as a gift and as a grace, nothing more and nothing less than that. A wise, seasoned old pastor was talking to a young pastor who was in his first church. He was just a couple of years out of seminary. And the experienced pastor said, son, as a pastor, you're going to learn over time all the shortcomings and sins of your people. And it'll be too easy to be overwhelmed by all of it and to feel defeated by your assessment and your pessimism. And then he said, just remember, your people, for all their shortcomings and problems, are still God's people. They're the ones that God has sent to be the church. They are the best that God has got. Now, isn't that exactly true of all of us? We may have a lot of problems. We may have a lot of shortcomings. We have a lot of failings, but we're the best that God's got. And by God's grace, at least that's a start. that's enough. Amen.